Hello, friends! It's your old pal, Aria Hawani, back with another Wednesday edition of The Hawani Show. We don't stop, baby. We keep going like a train, never stopping. And we got a great show for you today. We've got Israel Adesanya, the middleweight champion of the UFC, and Jan Błachowicz, the light heavyweight champion of the UFC. Why would they be on the same show? Interesting. Very newsworthy. More on them in a second. But first, let me tell you all about the podcast entitled Laughter Permitted. It is hosted by the great Julie Foudy. If you aren't familiar with her, she used to play on the USA National Women's Soccer Team, and I hear that she's great behind the microphone as well. So if you want to give it a listen, you can check out Laughter Permitted right now, wherever you find your podcasts. For now, though, time for today's edition of The Hawani Show. And as always, it may contain some language that may not be suitable for all audiences. So as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the program. I am certain that there are a lot of other things outside of the world of MMA on your mind today, but I hope, as always, that we can be a bit of an escape valve for all of you, because that's what sports are all about. So here we are with another great episode of the show. And this is a very newsworthy episode. Why? Because over the weekend, the biggest story to come out of Saturday's UFC event wasn't necessarily that Anderson Silva had fought for the last time in the octagon. And as depressing as that was, the biggest story was that Dana White said at the post-fight press conference that he is all in on Israel Adesanya, the middleweight champion, moving up from 185 to fight the 205-pound champion, Jan Błachowicz. Interesting. He's not fighting Robert Whittaker. He's not fighting the winner of Darren Till and Jack Hermanson, which happens in December. Who's been telling you about this for the past several weeks? I've been telling you about this for the past several weeks. They tried to make it in December. It didn't work because of Jan's baby arriving in December. And so now the talk is they're going to do it in early 2021. And so this has a lot of different angles to it. You've got, wait a second, this weekend, Glover Teixeira and Thiago Santos were supposed to be fighting for the number one contender spot at 205. What happened to that? What about John Jones? Are we ever going to see that fight? What about Robert Whittaker? Are we going to see him get another crack at Izzy? So many different permutations here. I wanted to go to the two men involved in this story, the two particulars, Israel Adesanya and Jan Błachowicz, on why this fight is happening, how it came to be, when it might happen, and the trickle-down effect, what it means for their respective weight classes. So on the back end of today's show, we will hear from Mr. Poland himself, Jan Błachowicz, who's always kind and gracious with his time. We'll ask him about the fight, whether he feels bad for Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira, which takes place this weekend. Get his thoughts on everything and his timeline, which is a very important factor in all of this as well. But first, let us talk to the reigning defending UFC middleweight champion, the one and only, the last style bender himself, Israel Adesanya. Why is he moving up? Why does he want to go up to 205 now? What about the John Jones fight? What about, you know, the guys at 185 who he has not fought yet and he said he wanted to clear out that division? What about his pec? What about the GOAT conversation? All that and more is discussed in this interview with Izzy, which takes place in Las Vegas, by the way, and that's important to note for this reason. Between September 14th and late November, around the 22nd or 23rd, Israel Adesanya will have about 10 free days out of quarantine because he traveled to Las Vegas from New Zealand to go to Abu Dhabi, had to quarantine in Las Vegas, then he had to quarantine in Abu Dhabi, then he had his fight in Abu Dhabi, then he had to go back home to New Zealand, quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel room, then he got out for 10 days, and then he traveled back to Las Vegas to corner his good friend and training partner, Carlos Ulberg, who fights on Wednesday nights Contender Series main event. Yes, a special night for the Contender Series. And not only is he doing this, Brad Riddell is doing it as well. He was on the same path. And oh, by the way, Brad Riddell went back to corner Alexander Volkanovski as well. And he did that back in July, I should say. So it's amazing to see what the City Kickboxing guys are doing. It's amazing to see what they all, what they all do together as a team and how loyal they are. And so here is Israel Adesanya in Las Vegas talking about all this while he's getting ready to quarantine once again in a hotel room. Amazing stuff. Always appreciate Izzy's time. Here's my conversation with The Last Stylebender on why he has decided to move up to 205 now. Well, the good news is you'll have some me time, but you'll also have some meme time as well. This means the return of internet, or dare I say interweeb, Izzy is returning, right? I mean, no? I mean,
depends on how the landscape of things happens. So, yeah. I'll be lurking. Don't worry. That was child's play last time. That was child's play. Ruthless is when I really caused some actions. I probably did, but yeah, like not in the public sense. I caused some actions in Albuquerque, but not in the public sense. But yeah, I mean, I'm a nice guy. You know me, Ariel. I just like to chill, you know, go like a few posts. But if someone says something stupid, and they think they can get away with it by just talking shit, well, they got another thing coming.
I'm just curious, because we were debating this afterwards, of course. You give us a lot of things to talk about, not only during that time, but in general, because you're one of the biggest stars in the sport. Is there a line? Is all fair and love and fight promotion with you? Or is there a line? Is there a territory? Is there a place that you will not go? Mm.
Mm. I have my own personal values and I have my own boundaries. So yes, there are lines, but if you cross my line, it's free, you know, it's free game. That's a good question. Yeah. I have boundaries. Like I said earlier on, homeboy mentioned my dad's name out of nowhere. And I was like, I didn't say anything disrespectful. And I said, oh, his mom would be disappointed, but people took offense to that. Like, how could you talk about his dead mother? I'm like, bro, I don't wait till my parents are dead before I put them on a pedestal. Keep my family's name out your mouth. And yeah, I think that's fair. Does that seem fair to you?
So my rule is like family, religion, race, those are, you know, those are sticky ones, right? Those are
if someone crosses your line, is it's not up to someone to dictate what someone else is. If someone comes in and slaps me in the head and I go on there, elbow him in the face or stalk him, I can't be like, oh, I just slapped you in the head, like a random stranger. I was like, it's not up to you to dictate what's okay. You crossed my boundary, I'll fuck you up. So yeah, like I said, I don't wait till my parents are dead till I put them on a pedestal. I give them the roses while they're here and I protect them. So I have to do that.
So in your mind, John did cross a line?
100%. There's no need to mention anything about my family or my pops or anything, because it wasn't even up for play. It's silly. Like, I don't want to say what I want to say because I'm holding myself back right now, because if I do, then it's going to be clickbait. But there's many things I could mention just to like cross the line even more. But that was a soft blow. That was nothing. Hmm. That was nothing. Like, I just said, because, you know, it's true. I feel, and that's my prerogative, but he started it. So I'll end it. Don't worry. I'll end it.
So John, aside for a second, the main reason why I wanted to talk to you today was because over the weekend, and of course you're in Las Vegas, over the weekend, yeah, Dana White says at the post-fight press conference, a week after saying the Whitaker Adesanya rematch was quote unquote appealing to him, he says, no, I spoke to Izzy. He's very persuasive. We're going to do Izzy versus Jan Błachowicz. He's going to move up to 205. And so let me ask you, when did this idea cross your mind? When did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do?
I wish I spoke to you first. I honestly wish I spoke to you first. I'd been better, but I ended up speaking on a few other outlets because they were accessible. But I think that, yeah, get to me first. Nah, actually, it's easier, you know. But besides the point, I'll talk to you off air. When did I decide this? maybe during fight week. Not just me, my team. Like I said, it's not just me. Like, I don't just make the moves myself. I am but just a person, a canvas with a gang of artists who help create this masterpiece you see in front of you. And they have families. They have, you know, some of them have jobs. They have obligations. Even one of my trainers, Twister, 2 spinal surgeries. And, you know, I'm glad he's feeling better. So I can't just decide what I want to do. I have to check with my team first. So we decided around fight week. And yeah, I was really gunning for the Cannonier fight. And I was getting, this would make more sense. I was like, we'll see. Like, it wasn't really something I was hungry for. I was looking forward to that Cannonier fight just because I thought it would be epic. I mean, maybe we're just not meant to fight, but yeah, it was during fight week that the seed got planted. And then, yeah, it made sense to me. It made sense to me with the landscape of things. It's like the universe just gave me a fucking, the most awesome alley-oop, like, actually. Yeah.
And when you say fight week, do you mean your fight week against Costa?
Yeah.
So obviously Jan was on that card. Did you have any interactions with him? Did you see him?
Yeah. He's cool. Like, I had no problems with him. He was very stoic, but very respectful. You know, a lot of those Eastern Bloc guys, he was cool. He wasn't like, even the bodyguard I was with taught me how to say what's up. You know, Shema.
Wait, you have a bodyguard now?
Oh, no, there's security from Fire Island. Security. On Fire Island.
Like, damn, is he getting big time now with bodyguards?
I got bodyguards, man. You know what I mean? No, but every fighter had like assigned security. So he happened to be Polish and he just taught me like some Polish slang. So I spoke it to him and yeah, we didn't really have much of an interaction, but he was very respectful. So that was cool.
So here's the thing, you win that night, he wins that night. So maybe the seed is planted. But you still said afterwards that Cannonier, you know, you have respect for him and that's the guy. He fights a month later. So if Jared Cannonier would have defeated Robert Whittaker just a few weeks ago, would you have put this Jan idea, this 205 idea to the side? Or even by the time Cannonier and Whittaker fought, had you already decided that you're moving up?
If Cannonier had won, depending on how soon he can come back. Mm. Yeah, depends on him how soon he could have come back from injuries or whatever, because I came out clean. So I wanted to fight again this year, but, you know, I can't hold out a spotlight. I have to, let my team, you know, get theirs as well. But, if Jared had won, and depending on how quick he would have made a comeback, if it was fresh, then we could have done it this year. It would have been dope, because I'm fresh. I'm still fit.
My understanding was there was even some talk of doing you versus Jan in December once Kamaru Usman had to pull out of his fight, but Jan is
having... Wait, was there talk of that?
I heard that there was some whispers, yes, behind the scenes. They had looked...
Who'd you hear that from? Who'd you hear that from?
How many times I got to tell you?
Man, tell you the sources.
The nose knows. But Jan is having his first child, so December doesn't work. But my understanding is March works for him. But you want to come back, I believe, in February. Are you willing to wait March, April?
Nothing said and done yet, you know. It's all hearsay, isn't it? But, I'm a very persuasive guy.
Okay. So here's my... So I want to come to you with my issue with this, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I understand why you don't want to fight Robert Whittaker. You just fought him a year ago, right? You just beat him very convincingly. It was one-sided. But I do think we have to say, in defense of Robert, who, you know, you guys have your issue and whatnot, Robert Whittaker, I spoke to him last week on my show. He did other interviews. Robert Whittaker never said he doesn't want to fight you. All he said was, I'm having a baby. I need some time off, this and that. The way it was painted on Saturday night.
Oh, congrats. I didn't know I was having a baby. But I mean, Ariel, I didn't say he said he didn't want to fight me. I never said that.
No. Dana White did. So I do think it's unfair for him.
Yeah, it's Dana. Dana's a man of his own. He's got his own mouth, his own words. He speaks for himself.
Sure. I'm just painting the picture here. Okay, so anyway, so what I was told was, okay, you're not interested in running that back. And I agree with you. There's not a lot of incentive. It was so one-sided. He's only won 2 fights since. So I was told,
be persuaded. There's ways, because Dennis would have tried to persuade me, but don't worry. I had moves ready. I had counters for counters. You understand, man. This Jan fight was sussed in less than 2 minutes. Like, you know, I kind of assume I have to go to, like, verbal war, you know, and Dana's war room, like, actual. And, yeah, it got sussed within 2 minutes. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, the universe just gives you the ultimate alley-oop.
Was it just mano a mano? You walked in there, he said, let me tell you why I want you to fight Whitaker, and then you came back with why you wanted to fight Jan and Yuan?
Nah, he didn't even bring up Whitaker. He said, like, what you said, like, the kid doesn't want to fight. You know, I thought I was going to have to convince you that this is the next fight to make, but he comes out and say he doesn't want to fight. So, yeah, that's what Dana said. And then I just said my piece, and I told him why it makes sense for me and the plan. I mean, the plan's always still been there, Ariel. I've been saying this. I even said it about Robert when I was in my debut of UFC. I didn't call him out or anything. I just said, if Robert's still the champion, I'll take the belt off him in 2019. And there wasn't anything, no disrespect, but I said it and I got it done. And I've been saying I'm going to fuck this dude up in 2021. But I'm like, people are just, oh my God. That's so funny.
So what is the plan? What did you say to Dana?
I can't tell you everything. Come on.
Oh, come on. You have it all figured out? Look at you.
Tell me more. You're salivating. I haven't figured out. Even, I mean, if you noticed last night, I went for a drive because shout out to Chop as well from Prestige Cars. You know, Chop's the guy that sells me with all his cars. And he actually, every time I come to Vegas, the last three times, he's always looking out for me and just hooking me up with a sweet ride. So I'm out here. I got a ride yesterday. I don't know why I did it so late because it's so easy. And I was just up. And I couldn't sleep. So I just went for a ride. Hung around the Allegiance Stadium, if you will, and I took it in for a bit. I studied the landscape. There's levels to this area. There's levels to this. So, yeah, the plan's always been the plan, and it's just crazy. And that idea, even the Allegiance Stadium, happened July last year when I was sitting in my hotel, I think, at the Wynn, and I was overlooking the was it the Wynn? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. And I was overlooking the view, and I saw it, and I was just like, there, that's where it has to be. And like I said, the universe just fucking laid it up for me. The fucking alley-oop. Ooh-hoo-hoo. I'm about to dunk this shit like Shaq in the old days. Break the fucking rim, break the backboard, everything.
So would it be fair to say that the plan somewhat resembles fighting for the 205 belt February, March or so, and then coming back in the summer and fighting John as you predicted? That's still the plan, right?
This thing with plans as well, there's variables. There's been a lot of variables in my plans, and I've adapted to them because, like I say, I'm a style bender and not very fluid. I'm very adaptable to the situations that life present me. So, but that's a rough idea. That's a rough idea. I mean, I'm still focused on Jan right now. That's the guy I'm focused on. But I like having goals, lofty goals, unattainable goals. I'm not even supposed to be here, Ariel. I'm not even supposed to be here, but here I am.
Now, he says he's moving up to heavyweight. What makes you think that he even entertains the fight at that point? If you come up and get his old belt and he's saying, no, I'm going to wait for, you know, or at that point, the Stipe Francis fight has already happened, then what makes you think that the plan comes together?
His ego, his insecurity and his ego. Trust me, I know this guy. I know this guy. It'll happen. There's no way that fight's not going to happen. There's no way. And oh, yeah, that's right. You and DC as well are saying, like, oh. That's why I just clicked. Exactly.
I was going to tell it to you right now.
Okay. I was going to say face to face.
I was like going to tell it to you right. I was about to lay it out for you. I think, here, sure, I'll say
that's
to,
really convenient.
not really face to face, screen to screen. My thing is, there's no one for you to fight. Do it now. Do it now. Why can't we? This is the biggest fight that the UFC can make right now. You guys don't like each other. You gave us 2 weeks of this flirtation. I'll say to you what I said to DC. I want the fight now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Be patient. A lot of people lose in life because they don't have patience. They want things now. I think Gary Vee. Shout out to Gary Vee. is a quote I snapshot on his Instagram. A lot of people lose in life and business because they want it now. Mm. Let it simmer. Patience. Don't worry. Just have faith in me. Trust me. I'm going to give you what you want. Just
okay.
Calm down. Yeah, like that. I like that quote. I love that. And it makes sense in life. People are just, oh, I want it now. Give it now. So, nah. Stick with me. I'll show you how it is.
In your mind, does this fight happen at light heavyweight or heavyweight?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Like I said, I wish I talked to you first. I said it on the other show, but what did I say? Andrew Schultz kind of put a seed in my head as well. Like, what if Jones gets the heavyweight belt?
Hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. You might see for the first time in history a three-peat, someone who's holding all three belts from light heavyweight, heavyweight, and middleweight at the same time. And that was just a seed that just go. I was like, I like that idea. But, I mean, it's not up for me to say. The fight's going to happen anyway.
Do you think John Jones will lose his next fight?
Is he even got a fight scheduled?
No, but whenever he fights.
I'm about to do what he hasn't done in over 10 years, which is jump up and wait. I didn't go recycle all my old opponents and scrap them or find new lower tier guys to fight. I just said, fuck it. I'm going to go up. So I'm going to do what he hasn't done in over 10 years. I'm going to do it in just under 3 years.
Hmm.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And I don't know. I mean, fuck. It depends who his next fight is, but I've seen the guy live. You can look at his last five fights. Tell me he's not washed.
Well, so that's my question. Do you believe that if he loses his next fight, then the fight against you has less interest?
Not to me, no.
You don't think it loses luster?
For the appeal of the fans, maybe, but then I'm the fucking light heavyweight champ. And the story is like, right, he went up to heavyweight. He fucked up. He's coming back down to light heavyweight to claim back what's his. And there's this troll who's been fucking with him for the last year and a half, telling him he ain't shit after he started it. And then, yeah. So it doesn't lose luster for me. Like, I stick to my guns. I have work to do, and I'm going to get my work done. So it won't lose luster for me. It'll just be a nice story of a fallen king trying to come back and reclaim his throne.
By the way,
new dog in the yard came in and then pissed all over the fucking place.
Is the motivation to get two belts, or is it to just piss him off and to troll him to say, "Hey, look,
troll him." I don't even care about the middleweight belt, bro. How many times have I told you I don't give a fuck about the belt? It's just a fancy yard.
Right.
That's just more money, more notoriety. I can't say champ, so I'm saying champ squared. But trademark, fucking TM that shit. Hey, Audie, get on it, please. Paradigm, champ squared. What else?
So it's to troll him.
Just trolling, bro. Like, I don't really care about belts. I just want to fuck over. Like, I've told you guys, it's all about the mantelpiece, scalping people, taking heads, all the greats of this era. I fucking fought Romero when I had no reason to fight him. No logic. Even Eugene was like, nah, we need to fight this guy. And I convinced Eugene and we convinced Dana. And the UFC didn't want to put that fight on. I'm going for everybody. Everybody can get it. Everybody can get it. So they can't run. I'm taking all the heads of this era. So when it's all said and done, they know who's the one.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
How far away do you think you are from being in that conversation with Khabib, with GSP, with Anderson, with DJ, with Fedor? In your mind, how far away are you? With John, of course.
You want me to tell the people? Nah, I don't really worry about that kind of stuff. Like I said, I'm a bird. That's me. I don't really worry about being the GOAT because I kind of feel like it happened. It's inevitable. But people already like to throw me in there for years now. But some people can see what the future holds. And some people still blind. But I don't know. I'm just doing me, bro. I'm just doing me. All I know is I keep whooping ass and I'll be undeniable. That's the main thing I'm focused on, is whooping the ass, kicking everyone in my way's ass. And you can deny me all you want, but we'll know.
So you think it's inevitable that by the time your career is over, you will be considered the greatest of all time?
100%.
Do you have an update on the Peck gate that we talked about last
Peck
time?
Gate. No, not really. Pituitary gland was checked. Hormone levels, fine, estrogen and testosterone. So yesterday we had a ultrasound and a mammogram. I had one yesterday for the first time. To be honest, it might just be unhealthy living a little bit, like, because I'm not smoking weed. That's what the doctor from the UFC said. Like, you know, you just need to, you know, stop. And I was like, I'm not stopping. I'm just going to slow down. I'm not stopping smoking weed ever. Also, the referendum in New Zealand, you look stupid. Y'all look stupid. Literally, you look stupid because you're backwards. You're living in the 1990s or whatever. Like, you look stupid because the referendum passed and this is still going to be illegal. So you look stupid. Just, and the world is looking at you laughing because you look stupid. Understand that. I'm still smoke. Come find me.
So is it still as swollen as it was, or has it gone down?
No, it's calmed down.
Sensitive?
Not as sensitive. It's actually calmed down, but it's just a fat deposit. And yeah, after a performance like that, like I said, I think I was on steroids too, because it was just mind blowing. What the fuck did I just do to that? Like the guy that he walked down Romero. No one walks down Romero. How am I get you? Why didn't he just use his boxing? Costa should just stuck to his game plan. He would have won. It's like, nah, bro. There's a common denominator. Some people are so stupid sometimes, and it really like baffles me. I'm like, do you understand? Like, just y'all look stupid too. All of you, it looks stupid because there's a common denominator. There's a reason he couldn't use his boxing. There's a reason he couldn't just walk me down. If you know fighting, if you know, you know. But those who don't know, you look stupid. I'll say it again. You look stupid. I don't even plan for these props to be here. They just happen to be hanging around. No.
By the way, have you signed the contract yet?
Ariel.
No.
Okay, I'll tell you that one. Nope.
Oh, wait. Which contract are we talking about?
What contract are you talking about?
Well, because
There's a lot like you, Ariel. Let's go.
Listen, after the Costa fight, he kept saying, sign the contract to you. And I was like, what contract? There is no contract. What are you talking about?
Who said that?
Paulo Costa kept saying, Izzy, sign the contract. Izzy,
bro. John Jones was saying that. Sign the contract. I was like, do you guys know how contracts work?
Yeah.
I was like, you need to sign the contract. I really focus for the revenge.
But wait a second. Which contract are you talking about? The Yan fight. The Yan fight.
What? Huh?
We got to pay. Listen, we got to pay. I don't know what Tim and Audie are doing, but we're moving up to 205. That costs money. All right. We need some extra pay-per-view points on top of the other pay-per-view points.
Hey, I'm looked after. I'm telling you, I got the team. You see my clip with 50 Cent when you talk about the lawyers? Stronger than linebackers, man. I got the crew. Like, don't worry. Paradigm GP. We're on it. We'll make it like this. Even like Khabib's dad, honestly, like you look at sports and so many fathers have played heavy roles in a lot of these great, great athletes' lives, you know, on the field, in the game. Like Khabib, you know, rest in peace. to his, you know, his father. Like, he played a big role in his life with training him how to fight and teaching him the game in this game. Mayan watches my back when it comes to this. Hmm. He's the hawk, the eagle that just soars and sees everything. He's like, yeah, I'm set. I'm not set yet. Like, I want to be set, but I'm set. Like, I've been rich. I've been broke. Rich again, broke. I've learned my lesson. I've done some dumb shit outside the UFC. Coming back from China with all this money, I lose it. I make some more money, and I get fucked over by the Chinese company I was working for, and I lose, you know, I just lose money, and I became rich again. I ain't never going back to being broke, but still, I stay broke, and I stay woke. This, that's, you know, engage. Shout out to Engage. Go there, buy my t-shirts, all of them. Even the Stay Woke, Stay Broke t-shirt. Like, yeah. There's methods to my madness. And I'm glad I have someone who is ultimately going to give a fuck about me and wants nothing in return. Literally wants nothing in return than to see a son do good. You know? So, yeah. And he's not on the field, but off the field, he's definitely putting me on some game.
Just a couple other things, and I'll let you go. Do you think you leave Las Vegas with a deal in place to fight Jan?
Oh, I was talking about deal for Carlos Ahlberg. Yeah, we leave with a UFC contract. Yeah,
that's right.
I tell you, my man's on, bro. My man's just like sharp. He hasn't, like, even him, like, he didn't come to the silver fight because he wanted, like, we was all supposed to go, you know, just something to experience. But, and he could have experienced that as well. But I like the fact that he didn't. He chose himself not to come because he wants to. It doesn't want to seem like he's on my coattails. You know, he wants to create his own legacy. And I respect that so much. And you think, looking at him like, oh, this guy's pretty boy, can't fight. Mm. He will fuck you up. Holy shit, he'll fuck you up.
You didn't answer the question, though.
Go back around to the thing.
Go back around.
Give me that. What?
Yeah, you give me the nice little parry there. Boom, boom, boom.
Is that parry? Don't do that. You gotta move the hand. You can't do that. I want any boxing. Back at it.
That's right, baby. That's right. Back at it again. Come on.
Shoulder roll.
What do you know about it? What do you, yeah, there we go. Little, well, y'all must have forgot. But really, you didn't answer.
Next question. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Things happen real fast with the UFC, so we'll see. I mean, you saw how I told you this fight got set in 2 minutes with me and Dana alone in his office. And yeah, we'll see.
But you can say with certainty you believe your next fight will be for the 205 pound belt against Jan Błachowicz.
100%. That's the next fight.
Does this mean your days of fighting at 185 are over?
Fuck no.
You're going to go down.
People are so stupid sometimes. Like, the game, to go up to 205, I don't have to put on any weight. I walk around, I fluctuate between that, you know, 205 mm-hmm. region or whatever. And people are like, you're going to have to take time to put on weight to 205. No, I wasn't taking time, like you and DC said, to put on weight to go to 205. No, or to get adjusted to the weight class. No, I'm taking time because I said I want to do my work at 185. I want to make sure I don't think I've cleaned out the division, but like I said, this alley-oop is too good not to miss up. So I'm taking it. But I'm definitely going to come back to 185 and fuck shit up. Yeah, like, for me, it's not like I need to go do what homeboy's doing. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't know, but he doesn't have to put it in his size to go up to heavyweight. But he's playing the game his own way, his own artistry, which is respect to him, respectfully. But, yeah, I don't think you have to do all that. Like, it's doing yourself a disservice.
Are you going up because Jan is an easy fight? Is this like GSP Bisping? That's what people are suggesting, right? And I asked Jan about this. This is what everyone says. Hey, I'm the biggest GSP guy, but everyone says GSP only went up and got that belt because Bisping, you know, was at the tail end of his run and he was, a fight that he could win. But I think there's a thought process that Jan is a beatable champion right now.
I can beat everyone up at 205. Every one of them.
If DC was still fighting, I'd whoop his ass too.
No. Like, I can beat anyone okay. at 205. It's not that it was an easy fight or whatever, but I just had to do my work, and I already set my timeline. So I was like, right, let me honor that timeline. And here we are. It doesn't look like I'm about to do exactly what I said I was going to do. It looks mm-hmm. like it. So stay tuned and we'll see how far. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll see. You'll see.
Okay. And by the way, did you feel it was suggested after your fight that, you know, all that stuff with Connor and the tweets and all that, that he was stealing the spotlight from you? That was put up. Did you hear those comments?
No.
You know, all the stuff with the DMs and the tweets and Diego Sanchez and all this stuff that was.
Oh, with him and Dana.
Yeah. And then Dana said afterwards that he felt like Connor was trying to steal your shine, which to me was an interesting theory, considering you're all under the Paradigm family and he always seems to give you props publicly and you
did. He does. I don't know. What does that mean? Fuck. I kind of have the same effect now that I can't even tweet reckless because anything I do just becomes headline on ESPN. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Like, Connor will say anything that it becomes headline.
You weren't bothered.
Nah, I didn't even hear about that. I think I saw the DM and I knew, like, Dana didn't like the fact that he released them or something, but I didn't follow that whole drama too much. But, that's a good question, but I don't know. John Jones, though, watch me. Watch any fight that John Jones has ever had in the last year and a half. I don't say shit unless I'm asked about him. But anytime I fight, he's always saying something stupid, trying to, like, prod. It happened from the Atlanta fight, 236. Since then, any fight I had, he's always had something to say to try and, like, I don't know if it's steal the spotlight, but, like, yeah, catch some of my shine, if you will. Like I told you, people can't fathom why he's jealous of me, because he shouldn't be jealous of me, but he is. I can tell you this because it's easy to recognize when you've been there, when you've been that green-eyed monster. It's easy to recognize when you see it in other people. And I see it, and I'm like, yeah, he's jealous of me because I'm doing exactly what he wished he could have done. And he's like, oh, but I've done this and records that. Yeah, but I don't have 4 failed drug tests. I don't have fucking how many arrests. I don't know, something with a shotgun as well recently. I've never looked into it, but I'm like, that's ammo. That's ammo right there. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's I can see it. It's easy for me to see. So he's definitely a clout trout. He's a clout trout, 100%. Kingfish clout trout. Bar none, 400-pound clout trout.
Last question. How'd he beat Jan?
You said that 5 questions ago.
No. This is it. Last question. I said there was a couple.
I don't mind. I got time for you. We can talk forever. But yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll go another hour with you.
All right, let's go. Yeah, let's go in. All right, wait. Tell me, what do you want?
How'd he beat Jan?
I haven't gone that far yet, but I haven't even seen his last fight yet because I was getting ready for my own fight. But I can beat him. I don't know how I'll beat him, but I can beat him. Ask me that maybe, I don't know, next year when the fight's closer, like right. 6 weeks yeah. out from the fight. Then you can ask me that and I'll give you a bit of a blueprint. I'm sure like Eugene and Twist and Adam Johnson, one of our jiu-jitsu coaches at the gym, he's also like an analyst. He breaks down the fights on a frame-by-frame basis, put it that way. I don't want to give too much away, but I've seen him do it when I was in Ireland when I was about to fight Silva. Oh, I don't think the fight was signed yet. He was already watching Silva versus Bisping frame-by-frame. He's like super smart, and he just knows everyone's plan A, B, C, D. With probabilities and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's just, it baffled me. It was actually, I was really impressed. Like, we figured out everything. Even the Brunson fight was the best one because we just knew if he jabs, the probability he's going to throw a right hand is percent, okay? And the probability he's going to shoot after his jab is percent. Like, Adam breaks it down. So,
wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm just giving him his props because he doesn't like it. But, yeah. Not to Adam for that. But yeah, we'll do the same thing with Jan. As always, we keep the same energy. So I'm sure Adam's already like breaking him down frame by frame and breaking down his grappling. And who knows, you might even get to see my grappling display in this fight.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. See what I'm about. see how my white belt can hold up in there.
DC did say that Jan should try to use his wrestling against you. That would be a good path for him. So
of course, DC would say that.
What a hater, huh? What a hater. What a hater.
Hey.
Izzy, thank you, as always. I appreciate it. Great insight, and good luck getting that fight signed, and good luck to
L'chaim.
You. L'chaim, my friend. I'll do the same. Good luck to your friend Carlos Wednesday night as he attempts to get his UFC contract.
Yeah, let's go.
Thank Peace. You, Izzy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, and now let us say hello to the reigning, defending UFC light heavyweight champion, the man who we think will be fighting Israel Adesanya next, perhaps in early 2021, the pride of Poland himself, the one and only Jan Błachowicz, kind enough to join us. Jan, how are you?
Good, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing really well. By the way, has that gotten old yet, hearing reigning, defending UFC light heavyweight champion next to your name?
It sounds good. I like it.
Does it still feel a little bit surreal?
Not so much right now, you know. When I wake up in the morning, I see the belt and, okay, I'm the champion. So, yeah, I used to that a little bit.
And by the way, where are you putting the belt these days?
I'm still waiting for a special place, you know, because I have prepared something. I order, I don't know how to say it. Some special thing and put it under the TV, you know?
Okay. That's a great spot. So you'll watch TV and you'll always look at it as well.
I don't like watch TV. That's why I'm going to, you know, watch the belt and not TV.
What do you mean you don't like watching TV?
I watch only, you know, some, you know, movies or something like this, but I don't watch news and, you know, stupid shows and stuff like this.
Sports, MMA maybe?
Yeah, sports, MMA also.
Okay. You're a man who likes to go outside. You like to be active, that sort of thing.
Exactly. I prefer books like you, I see.
That's right. Yes, I have a ton of books here. Yes, that's right. Well, there's a lot of exciting news regarding you, Jan, because we had been hearing some whispers about this for a few weeks. I put it out there as well. But then on Saturday, UFC President Dana White said at the post-fight press conference following the event in Las Vegas that he spoke to Israel Adesanya and that Izzy's next fight will be against you, as Izzy, the 185 champ, moves up to 205 to go after your title. Now, when he said this, when Dana White said this, did you know, like, had they spoken to you already about this? Were there discussions, or were you hearing it like the rest of us for the first time?
They asked me something after my fight, you know, in Abu Dhabi, in the next day, you know. And I say, it's no problem for me, but not now. In the March, I can fight in March with, you know, anybody. It's no problem for me. But that, I cannot fight, you know, area, then March. If Israel want to wait, no problem. If not, he need to fight, you know, different challenge.
And to be clear, the reason why you can't fight before March is because you and your wife are expecting your first child, correct?
Yes, this is one of the reasons. And, you know, in Poland right now, situation is a little bit, you know, not so good. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and day after tomorrow. So, right now, we train normally, but every day, you know, we cannot, you know, nobody knows what our government prepare for us.
Right. Sure.
Now. You know, people start going, you know, out from the house to the streets, and we will see what's going to happen later.
Mm. And the baby's coming in December, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So when they asked you after your victory over Dominic Reyes in September, did they ask you about Izzy specifically?
Yeah, they ask me, do you want to fight Izzy? I say, no problem, but in March.
Right. And my understanding was they tried to make this fight happen for December 12th because they were looking for a main event, but then you told them it doesn't work with my schedule, with my wife, the baby. Is that true? Did they come to you with that offer?
I don't know correct the date, you know. Maybe that was, you know, because they tell that it's going to be December, but I say too early for me. Mm. Maybe that was 12th. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Date aside, What do you think of this idea? What do you think of the idea of Izzy moving up from 185 to fight you?
This is a good idea. I like it. it would be nice, you know. But you know, I don't like choose my opponents. I never do this, you know. If UFC won't make this fight, okay, let's go, let's do this. If not, I'm going to be ready for next, you know, the Victor against Teixeira and Thiago.
Mm. Now, speaking of that fight, I think we all thought that the winner of that fight would be next for you, especially because you have a history with Thiago Santos and also because Glover has looked good as of late. Are you surprised that they would announce something like this or at least put it out there?
No, because they told me earlier, you know, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, okay.
But right. Now it's, you know, a little bit, right now it's become more real, you know,
yeah.
Scenario for me, for the next fight.
But if you were Thiago or Glover, wouldn't you be annoyed right now? Like you're about to fight in, you know.
But I'm not Thiago or Glover, you know.
Sure.
And the champion, so I can choose.
I know.
Yeah. So that's not my problem.
Fair enough. And so, okay, so we have this situation where Izzy's moving up, but for a long time, we were, you know, thinking that maybe they would try to do Izzy versus John Jones. John Jones leaves now. Is there a part of you that thinks that the reason why he's moving up now is because you have the belt and he thinks that you're an easier fight and thus he can go up there and get a second title?
If he think like this, he's wrong, you know. Why John Jones don't want to fight in 205 anymore? Because he's afraid of me, you know. That's why he moved to heavyweight. This is the reason. So it's not an easy fight for Adesanya. It's going to be a harder fight.
And to be clear, I'm not saying it's an easier fight. I'm asking, do you think that he thinks it's an easier fight and that's why he's moving up?
Like this, he is wrong.
Mm.
But I don't care what he thinks. I will prove, if they make this fight, I will prove him that he is wrong. You know, he will go back to his category really fast.
Do you look at things like odds? Do you look at things like that, like the betting odds and all that stuff?
No, I don't care about this, you know. I'm always, you know, underdog, so...
Well, because
make some money on me when they put money. A lot of people make a lot of money right now after my fight against Dominic Reyes, you know.
So some early odds came out and they have him at like a minus 250, you a plus 210. So that's like 2-1. People thinking that he's going to beat you, him moving up to 205. Does that bother you?
No, nothing. I don't think about this. This is not for me. This is for, you know, for people who like put money on fights, you know. You know, I like, you know... I don't care. No, I don't think about this. I like to be underdog because a lot of my friends put money on me because they believe in me and they, you know, they become rich like me after the fight, you know, and I can laugh and celebrate with them.
I would imagine there's a part of you that's kind of excited about this, right? Because with all due respect to Glover and Thiago, he's a bigger name right now, right? A fight against Izzy. Really? So this is exciting for you, right? This is probably something that you welcome.
Yeah, you know, that's why I come to UFC, you know, to fight with the biggest name in the world. So he is one of that. So, yeah, I'm I'm happy if UFC do this, if he want to wait to March. It will be a great fight.
Have they, you know, since they put this out there on Saturday, have they talked to you about March, about February, things like that, about possibly fighting in early 2021? Have there been any further discussions about this fight?
No, I just sent, because I see the interview with Dana White.
Yeah.
So my manager texts to them, we can do this fight, but in the March, not earlier, because I'm waiting for the child and the situation in Poland, nobody knows what's going to happen. And they say, okay, we understand. And right now, it's, you know, we don't talk anymore. So
okay,
maybe tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow, we talk something more with UFC.
But what do you think now? You think it happens? You think Izzy is your next fight?
I think it's real. Yeah, it's... I think Adesanya is more real than Thiago or Glover right now.
And just curious, you know, we've heard from champions in the past who say, hey, I want to be a champion who defends the title against the number one contender, not have people move up, champ, all this stuff. Is there a part of you that feels like, hey, you should win a fight or two at 205 before fighting for the belt? Or do you feel like because he's the champion at 85 and he's a big name, the fight is okay, that it's not, you know, a slap in the face to the other guys at 205?
Okay, he is champion, he's a great fighter. I can beat him, and after that, I can fight against Thiago or Glover on, you know, I don't know who going to be next one.
Mm-hmm. When you guys were in Abu Dhabi together, did you have any interactions?
No, just, you know, hey, what's up? That's it. Nothing more.
Okay, you didn't feel like he was eyeing you down, that he had his sights set on you?
No, not. I don't see something like this from his side, you know?
What do you think of Izzy overall as a fighter?
He's a very good fighter, you know? Amazing fighter, but I'm better. I will stop him if they make this fight.
You think you'll knock him out?
I will try, do my best. Like always, to knock him out, yeah. He's going to feel legendary Polish power like everybody.
Thus far in MMA, he's undefeated. Do you see holes in his game? Do you see
weakness? So that's going to be amazing, you know, because he, when I beat him, he's going to remember me to the end of his life, you know, because I'm going to be the first one who beat him in MMA because he lost in the K1 or Muay Thai.
Glory kickboxing.
Yeah, kickboxing, yeah.
When you watch him fight, do you see holes? Do you see weaknesses in his game?
You know, I watch his fight, but I don't study his fight because it's too early to study his fight. You know, I just enjoy his fight. You know, but if we sign contract, then I will study his fight and we will find his weakness.
Okay, you know, some people love Izzy. Other people think he's cocky. That, you know, he's too much of a showman. That he, you know, does all this. Well, how do you feel about him as an entertainer, as a fighter? Do you appreciate, or is his style not really your style?
It's not my style, you know. I'm a little bit, you know, calm and quiet guy. He's different. But if he like this, if he is okay with that, so I'm okay, you know.
I feel like there's a chance if Izzy moves up to 205 and things go your way, you win this fight, that might make John Jones come down to 205. Now he'll feel like, okay, this is a big deal to fight Jan. What do you think? Do you think that that's still a possibility, or have you given up on John?
I don't care about John Jones right now. I don't know what he's doing right now. I think he tried to catch the thief with shotgun, yeah?
Yes.
This is what he do right now. So, I don't know. You know, maybe we will see, you know. If he would like to come back to 205, okay, maybe I will give him chance to fight against me. But after Adesanya, it's going to be, you know, next opponent, Thiago or Glover.
Who do you like in that fight, by the way, Thiago or Glover?
You know, I would like fight against Thiago to take a rematch against him, so I'll keep my fingers for him. But like you say, Glover, he got, you know, second life right now. He is really good shape, so we will see how it's going on this fight.
Is it possible that there's a part of you, considering your history with Thiago, the fact that he beat you around almost 2 years ago, that fight interests you more right now than the Israel fight?
I know that I would fight again Thiago in the future. So it's going to be right now or later. I don't care. We will see. You know, I knew that we meet in future for sure again. So I will take my rematch now or later. Doesn't matter. We will see.
Okay. By the way, what was it like meeting the prime minister a few weeks ago? What was that experience like?
You know, I don't like talking about politics.
Yes.
But we don't talk I don't talk with him about politics. I think he's an MMA fan, or maybe he, you know, he do good research, you know, because we spoke like 50 minutes, maybe 1 hour, and it was really good, nice conversation about fighting, about, you know, about diet, about injuries, about everything around the, you know, how around the MMA sports. And he got a really good, you know, question, so it was nice conversation.
Okay. By the way, speaking of diet, I saw on your Instagram, you ate this like sandwich that looked like was massive. You took a picture of it. You know the sandwich? What is that sandwich?
Yeah, it was a burger with gold on the top.
Gold?
Yes.
What do you
special
mean?
Special gold, what you can eat.
It's real gold?
Real gold, but they made it special way when you can eat it, you know?
Who made this for you?
The most expensive burger in Poland.
Wow. Who made this for you?
My friend, you know, he got a restaurant in Warsaw and he invited me and he gave me this burger.
How much is it?
Something like $350, something like this.
Oh my gosh, that is wild. For just one burger. And how did it taste?
Really good. And the gold was an amazing feeling when you eat the gold, you know.
I bet, yeah. And you deserve it. Did you finish it?
Yeah, I ate all of it, you know.
Okay. All right, so to recap, life is going well. Things are going good for you since winning the belt. They have approached you preliminary talks to fight Izzy, and you said, yeah, I'm okay with it, but it has to be in March, not sooner. What about February? Possible or no? No. March or later?
Yes, March or later.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And by the way, I mean, are we getting a new contract here? What, like, are we going to get pay-per-view points for this fight? We got to get a little bit of a raise, right?
We're going to talk about this. I hope so.
Come on.
We have to.
Yes, of course.
It's going to be a big fight, so yeah, we're going to have to do some changes.
In my contract,
yeah.
Get a little pay-per-view cut, you know, some pay-per-view points, all this stuff. By the way, I was talking to your friend Daniel Cormier on Monday, and he said that he thinks, even though it's not your background, in this fight, you should wrestle more. You should try to take Izzy to the ground. What do you think of this advice from Daniel?
I'm always doing my wrestling, you know. I think that I'm going to have to take down the Dominic in our fight, but I don't have to. So if they make fight with Israel... that's gonna be my, you know, some of my game plan, but we'll see. Maybe stand up will be enough, but for sure I will focus about wrestling.
Any message for Izzy?
For Izzy, prepare for legendary Polish power.
It's not a
joke. It's serious.
Yes, I think we know by now that it is very serious. Jan, thank you. This is an exciting development. Kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone thought your next fight would be against Izzy when you won the belt in September, and I don't think anyone thought Izzy's next fight would be against you. But here we are. It seems like he wants it, and the UFC wants it, and you want it as long as it happens.
Well, let's go. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Wow. Okay. So you went with Daniel Cormier. You had John Jones. Izzy, not a bad option. I got to be honest with you.
Not a bad option.
Not a bad option.
Really good option.
Yes. So good luck to you once again. I didn't think we'd be talking so soon, but this is a breaking news development, so I wanted to get your 2 cents. Thank you, as always, for the time. I appreciate it. And
no good problem. Luck. Pleasure for me.
Negotiations with the fight.
Okay, thank you. Pleasure for me. Like always, all best for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So there you have it. You get Izzy's side of the story. You get Jan's side of the story. It looks like we're getting Izzy versus Jan sometime in early 2021. If Jan gets his way, it won't be before March. And I think he should get his way. I mean, he has some valid reasons. And then perhaps we shall get Izzy versus John Jones in the summer of 2021 at the new Raider Stadium in Las Vegas. How about that? Crazy times in the world of MMA. And it's another busy week coming up. In the world of MMA, we got Contender Series this Wednesday. If you're listening to this on Wednesday afternoon, that comes out this Wednesday on ESPN Plus. If you missed it, if it's Thursday, you can go back and watch it. You got Bellator back for Bellator 251 Thursday night, starring the debut of Corey Anderson, first fight in Bellator against Melvin Manhoef. So that's going to be really interesting. That's Thursday night at Mohegan Sun. And then on Saturday night, the UFC is back with another card at the Apex, headlined by Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. A fight that we thought was going to be a number one contender fight. Now, still big stakes, but maybe a title shot is not on the line. Also of note, Andre Arlovsky going up against fellow Canadian Tanner Boser. How about that? Boser the Hoser. Or is it Hoser? Boser the Hoser. Yes, Boser the Hoser. That's right. Anyway, that all goes down 7 p.m. Eastern prelims, 10 p.m. Eastern main card, only on the platform that Chell and I built, ESPN Plus. For now, all I need from you is this. Please rate, download, subscribe, review. Please do that. It helps us out. It's really the only thing I ask of you. It helps us climb the charts. The bosses are happy, lets me do more interviews, and everyone says a little kumbaya. All right, I'm out of time. Enjoy the fights this week. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, I say peace. I'm out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.